Find other great podcasts like this one at podmoth.network.
I'm Mandy.
And I'm Avery.
We're the hosts and creators of Thick Thighs and Creepy Vibes.
Join us as we take a deep dive into the macabre and the unexplained.
Listen every Wednesday as we take you on a chilling journey that transports you to all corners of the Great White North.
Let's boot those Sunday scaries while we take a rip into the harrowing tales of the haunted and the supernatural phenomena that defy explanation.
So grab your ketchup chips.
And your Caesars. And make sure to
creep it real.
Hey, you. Yeah, you. Do you like cracking into curious creatures? Perhaps you ponder the paranormal. Have you ever got a hankering for the haunted? Ever entertained the existence of extraterrestrials? Or have you ever just wanted to hear genuine encounters of any kind? If you have answered yes to any of these questions, then Cryptids, Creeps, and Conspiracy Podcast is right up your alley. So grab your sense of humor and open your mind as we take a journey to uncover the mysteries behind kooky critters, spooky specters, enigmatic entities, and the controversial conspiracies that surround them. Buckle up, because we're going to have a good time.
Welcome to the Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy Podcast. I'm Declan, the son.
And I'm Jane, the mom. This is the podcast where we talk about brutal crimes, bizarre occurrences, and get you drunk with cocktails themed around one of our stories. To lighten things up, we'd like to end our time with a chaser. Please keep in mind some of our stories might be upsetting to young or sensitive ears.
We love hearing from our listeners, so feel free to contact us by email or social media. You can find our contact info in the show notes for this episode. If you'd like to support us through Patreon, you can find us there at Brutal, Bizarre, and Boozy Podcast, or use the link in our show notes.
Welcome back, everybody. Thank you for joining us. Hi, Declan.
What's up, Mom? Good to see you again. Once again, everybody
once again.
Joining us.
Yes. Welcome back. Before we get started, I wanted to say a little shout out to a couple of Patreon members. We have some new Patreon people, so I wanted to say hi to them. We have Jamie Bartlett, thanks for joining us, and Faith Hackworth. Also, thank you for joining us on Patreon. So we are happy to have you join us there.
I am thinking of someone else. I was thinking of my coworker who has a very similar name. And I was like, how did she know about this? I didn't tell anybody.
Yeah, that's your little work secret.
Thank you for subscribing to us on Patreon, y'all.
Yeah.
If you don't know, go check us out over there. We've got some content for you and give us a follow.
Yeah. What are you going to be telling us about today?
Okay, so this is a trigger warning right now for this week and next week, because it's kind of a part two.
That's not good.
Yeah.
Because neither one of us do trigger warnings unless it's really, really bad.
This one is pretty bad, but it's not as bad as next week's. They're kind of connected. So.
Okay.
I'm going to be talking about Mark Dutroux.
I don't know that name, I don't think.
It's a story out of Belgium. So,
okay.
Yeah. What are you going to be telling us about today, Mom?
I'm going to be talking about Crater Lake.
Okay, interesting.
Yeah, we touched briefly upon one of the stories in episode 10. But
okay, is this like a missing 411?
No, this is about weird stuff associated with the park. There's some ghosts, there's some cryptids, there's some spooky stuff in the sky.
Interesting. Okay, I'm excited to hear about that.
It's a lot of stuff. So to go with that, I brought the Royal Blue cocktail. Because for anyone who has not been to Crater Lake, you might not know that the The lake is the darkest blue, prettiest lake that you could ever see.
Cobalt.
It's gorgeous. Yes.
Yeah.
So that's why I chose this drink, because of the name. And it is pretty blue, I will say. So this cocktail is made of 2 ounces of cranberry juice, 1 ounce of vodka, 1 ounce of blue curacao, of course, because it's going to be blue, and 1/2 ounce of lime juice. You're going to garnish with a lime wedge and a sugar rim. So the steps are to moisten the rim of your chilled martini glass with lime juice, add sugar to a small plate, and then dip your moistened glass into the sugar so you get that yummy sugar rim. And then add all your ingredients to a cocktail shaker with ice, shake well, and strain into your prepared martini glass. Are you ready, Declan, for this dark blue
drink?
This
sounds pretty good.
Yeah. It's
essentially just like a vodka cranberry, but...
kinda, yeah. With a little bit of citrus in there. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
pretty good.
It's good.
It's very sweet, though.
It's stronger than I would have suspected.
What kind of liquor did you use?
I used vodka. I thought the cranberry juice being double the vodka would make it. I mean, blue curacao, yeah, that's a liqueur, but it's kind of mild in its liquor flavor. It's stronger than I had expected, but it's pretty good. The lime comes
through. What
brand
did you use? Because
I used Sky.
The what the fuck is it called? The blue bottle one.
Yeah, that's what I used.
Like the whole bottle is blue, though. It's not.
Yeah,
Sky.
The bottle is blue.
Is that Sky? And it says like 7X distilled on it or whatever.
I couldn't tell you. I just have a giant bottle of it, and it's the bottle itself is dark blue.
Let me...
like the Royal Blue cocktail, but
okay, so it's not Sky that I'm thinking of. I used I remember the name. It's like a hexagonal shaped bottle.
I don't know.
Anyways, it's like the smoothest vodka I've had, and it's dirt cheap.
Oh, that's nice. You'll have to figure it out and let me know, because I like a smooth vodka. I don't want it biting
it's
me and
platinum.
Kicking me in the face. Platinum.
Yeah, never platinum seen it. Vodka.
Huh.
It's, I'm sure you've seen it. It's like a weird triangle-shaped blue bottle.
I wonder if you have it up there and I don't have it down here, because our liquor store is fairly limited. But I also have a giant bottle of the Sky, because we make so many vodka drinks.
Vodka drinks.
I just bought a big bottle, and so it's just sitting there. Incidentally, I have been using it to make my own coffee liqueur to go for my espresso martinis. So that's what I've been using.
So gross. So gross.
What? The espresso martini?
Yeah.
Nasty. I think you might like the one I make. So next time you come home, I'll make
coffee
you one.
At all.
Well, okay. If you don't,
not one
bit. You don't like coffee candy or coffee flavor.
No, not even like chocolate covered coffee beans. Nothing.
Okay,
like that.
Then never mind. I'll drink yours.
Tastes gross.
I love.
Tastes
it.
Like how cigarettes smell to me.
No, it does not.
Yeah.
Not at all. Okay, so let's talk about Crater Lake. It is located in Southern Oregon and is one of the 7 wonders of the state. We mentioned the area, as I said before.
The state or the world?
The state. It is a 7 wonder of the state, not a 7 wonders of the world. I did look it up.
I was always told it was a 7 wonders of the world, and I was like, It's so cool. I grew up right next to a Seven Wonders of the World, but no, okay.
It's not. Because I was getting ready to type it up that it was a Seven Wonder of the World, and I Googled it and it said, although it's not of the world, it is a Seven Wonders of the State. So, I mean, we got a Seven Wonders of something. It's about an hour away from here.
I'm going to Google what the
Seven Wonders of the World are.
Wonders of the State. No, the state are. Oh, the state.
Yeah, some stuff. Probably a couple of lighthouses or something. I don't know. That's a good point.
I bet you the Painted Hills are on there. The Painted Hills are pretty cool.
Yeah, that's true. They are pretty neat looking over in Eastern Oregon.
Oregon Coast, Mount Hood, Columbia River Gorge, Crater Lake, Painted Hills, Wallawas, and Smith Rock.
Okay. Interesting.
That's for everyone living in Oregon. There you go.
Yay. So we mentioned Crater Lake in episode 10 when we talked about the strange disappearance of Charles McCullough. And if you haven't listened to that, the photographer who disappeared.
Like hiking in the snow.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Okay. He disappeared in February. Now. Yeah. It was your story, so I hope you remember it. Although, I think
that was long ago.
I know. It was a million
episode number
years ago.
Seven.
Episode 10. 10. 10. Long time ago. The lake is the main feature of the national park and is the deepest lake in the United States, which is pretty cool. I think it's third in the world and second in the Northern Hemisphere, something like that. I don't know, but it's the deepest in the U.S.
It's unbelievably cold. Like,
yes.
For reasoning. I swam in it once and it was not
you
fun.
You did?
Yeah.
You trekked down
I didn't
to the
swim,
bottom?
I got in like knee deep and I was like, nope, I'm good.
I've never been down that hiking trail.
It fucking sucks. It's like
I have heard that
30 minutes to an hour. It's not fun. There's so many people on it that it's just a fucking pain in the ass.
And I've heard it's pretty narrow. And with all those people on it, it makes it even more problematic.
It's definitely sketchy. Like if you're wearing the type of shoes you would to go swimming, like Crocs or something, it's like kind of scary because it's all dirt.
Yeah.
And it just like slips out from under you. It's sketchy.
They've closed that trail this year and next year because they're rehabbing it. And so maybe they're putting in some better trail steps or something so that it makes it a little bit easier for people to get down to. I don't know. I did read that the water temperature is like 63 degrees or something.
No way. It's got to be colder.
Which I was
it
thinking.
It feels way
colder. Yeah. But if you think about
I guess
that's
it
still
is on a,
more than 30 degrees below your body temperature. It's almost
is it
40
still
degrees.
Like geothermally active?
Yes.
So maybe that warms it up. I'm not.
A little bit. A little bit.
It's still fucking cold.
It's still cold, yeah. You can enjoy the view of the lake many different ways throughout the year. In summer, you can view the lake from every side by driving around the 33-mile rim road, as well as hiking numerous trails, including ones that take you to a fire lookout tower high above the lake, or down to the lake surface, like we talked about, as you go down that trail. And there's a boat ride at the bottom of that trail that you can take across the surface of the lake, which, because I've never done that trail, never did. Yes. Never been.
I wonder what's on there.
On a boat ride. Nothing.
Well, is there any animals or anything there?
Maybe,
like squirrels or
maybe.
Probably birds.
I don't know about wildlife, but we're going to talk about some things that have been seen there.
Okay.
Not wildlife related. During the winter, some of the access is restricted due to heavy snowfall, but the snow allows for some amazing snowshoeing experiences, which I have never done.
I think I did.
Did you?
For like a field trip.
Oh, I wanted to. We were going to do it a couple of years ago. And then we got hit with a really bad storm the weekend that we were going to go. And it was not a trip that we wanted to do in the middle of a snowstorm.
Well, it's also like if for everyone that hasn't been there, in the wintertime, they're like 12-foot walls of snow on each side of your car yes. on the road. Like, it's insane.
Yes. Average snowfall at Crater Lake is about 44 feet of snow.
Wow.
And it often starts in early fall. So when you associate like, oh, snowfall is winter, sometimes it's snowing there in September or October.
Yeah. It's got a short season where it's not snowing.
Yeah. Yeah. The lake was formed about 7,700 years ago when the volcano Mount Mazama collapsed, forming a caldera. The caldera is over 2,100 feet deep and is partially filled by the beautiful dark blue water of the lake. The lake is supplied with water through rain and snowfall, not by any rivers or streams or anything. And so
a caldera is like a lake that forms after a volcano erupts.
It's the bowl. Yeah.
Okay.
Basically. So because it doesn't have any inlets of water, it makes the water very clear and clean. The clarity of the water has been tested to about 130 feet deep, which is amazing to think
That's
about.
Deep. Yeah.
Yeah. Like a 13 story building.
Because I heard
standing on the top and being able to see the bottom or something, you know, it's pretty wild.
Oh, Klamath Lake is only 50 feet deep.
Yeah. There are two small islands inside of the lake, Wizard Island, a cinder cone near the western shore, and Phantom Ship, which is a rock formation pillar-shaped near the south shore. So you have to be in the right angle to see Phantom Ship. Mm. However, it's also named Phantom Ship because of a unique optical illusion that occurs if you are standing at a certain angle and a certain time of day. The Phantom Ship seems to vanish.
That's weird.
So maybe when you've been there, you were at the right angle and the Phantom Ship wasn't visible. Hmm. I don't
maybe.
Know.
Maybe. That would explain it. I didn't know there was two.
Yeah. Although the caldera, although I will say, Phantom Ship, when it's called an island, it's just peaks and pillars sticking out. It's not like Wizard Island, which is what you would associate with what looks like an
trees
island.
On it and stuff.
Yeah, it's just these
okay.
spires sticking out of the water. The caldera was formed nearly 8,000 years ago. There is evidence that Native American tribes knew the region well before the eruptions. No shocker there. Geological excavations in the area have unearthed artifacts buried under layers of ash and pumice that predate the volcanic eruption. One of the tribes has oral historical stories that describe the collapse of the mountain and formation of the lake. The area around was used during vision quests, and sometimes members participating in the ceremony would climb the steep and treacherous caldera walls. Those that succeeded were believed to have deeply spiritual powers. So,
having to climb that before there were roads or trails, that's
insane.
Gnarly. Yeah.
Insane. So, it's hard to imagine by looking at pictures how steep those walls are, but they're fucking scary. Yeah.
Yeah.
People fall off of it every year because they get too close to the edge, taking pictures or looking at chipmunks or whatever, and then they fall off into and then slide down the
rock-filled. Yeah, if you fall off, you're not stopping anywhere till you get to the bottom. It's
or a tree.
Super steep. Yeah.
There are trees along the sides. Those will catch up, but they'll probably break you in a few places. So it's not a place you want to go messing around on the edge of, for sure. Local tribes also tell tales of a gateway through the lake between Earth and the underworld, and that there are spiritual beings residing in the deep, dark water. There are many strange occurrences around the park area. We discussed a couple of missing person cases during episode 10. I think not only did we talk about Charles McCullough, but we briefly were like, weird shit happens there. Yeah, weird stuff happens there for sure. It's the Pacific Northwest. So, of course, there are dense forests in this national park, which means Bigfoot sightings.
We all knew it was coming.
Yep. Both by park visitors and some park rangers have described following a hairy, very stinky, tall animal, humanoid thing going through the forests. Not just visitors, but park rangers as well. So Bigfoot's been spotted, but he's not the only strange thing spotted in the woods. Several rangers have reported seeing campers and campfires both on the rim shoreline and on Wizard Island. Neither of these areas allow for camping, and definitely no fires are permitted in either place. When rangers search the area, there's no signs of any people or fires. There's no scorch marks. Yeah, there's no scorch marks on the ground. There's no footprints of anything. Nothing.
Weird.
Yeah. One park ranger said she was like driving through an area and saw like 10 people gathered around a campfire where there was not supposed to be any campfires and no people were supposed to be camping there. And she pulled over to the side of the road and hiked in and there was nothing there.
Can you even camp at Crater Lake? Is there like camping spots?
You can. There are campgrounds, but they're like on the rim. They're not anything down low. Yeah. So seeing lights down low.
That's weird.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. Things on the ground aren't the only mysterious sightings either. Several witnesses have told about seeing UFOs over and near the lake for many years. In 1997, three bright disks were seen racing above the lake at high speeds, followed by odd lights in the sky. Some of the lights then seemed to disappear into the water.
Oh, weird.
Mm-hmm. So, not just above, but
UFO
now...
UFO to hide in.
Right. In the lake itself is another oddity called the Old Man of the Lake, which I, living here and having been to Crater Lake many times, had never heard of this thing before. But thankfully, it's not an actual man. It is a log that has been floating in the lake for over 100 years, which in and of itself, not particularly strange. However, the log doesn't float like most logs do in water. This log floats vertically. So up and down.
Weird.
Yeah.
That's strange.
It protrudes about 4 feet above the water's surface and extends 30 feet underwater. Well, nobody really knows.
I don't like this. This is like freaking my open water brain
weird.
Out. I don't like this.
To make the log even stranger, there are rumors that the log has mystical powers. In the late 1980s, scientists were studying the lake using a submersive vehicle. You know, water's cold. Nobody wants to go swimming in that. And they needed to collect, you know, like samples and stuff. Out of concern for the expensive equipment, they tethered the log, keeping it from interfering with the vehicle. Within minutes, the weather changed drastically with dark skies, wind, and an increased water current. As soon as the log was released, the weather returned to normal.
Oh, weird.
Isn't that wild?
That's spooky. I don't like that.
Yeah. With the boat tours, the park rangers would be on there, and sometimes if they could get close to the log, the park ranger would jump over onto the log and stand on top of it in the water. Stand on the trunk of the little stump. Yeah. They don't do that anymore. Maybe because of what happened in the late 80s with the submersible. I don't know, but they don't do that anymore.
Seems like a bad idea.
Yeah. One park guest who was in a boat on the lake also reported seeing a dragon-like water creature. So we got UFOs, Bigfoot, and now we've got a sea monster or lake monster.
That's great.
The area was searched, but nothing was ever discovered. So the lake monster, there's only been one report of a lake monster. On the southern rim of the caldera is where the park facilities are located. There is a historical center that discusses and shows how the lake was formed thousands of years ago, as well as a visitor center and lodge. The lodge is, of course, rumored to be haunted.
Of course it is.
Yay! So basically, spooky stuff happens everywhere in the park, inside and out. The lodge is a historical hotel that was originally built in 1915 and 1916 and has had a few renovations over the decades. Although the hotel has been updated, it still maintains the historic old world charm of a winter lodge. You know, big cabiny beams and stuff like that and rocks, and it's pretty cool looking. There are 71 guest rooms and a dining hall. Many rooms overlook the blue water of the lake, while some have a view of the valley. Due to severe weather in the winter, as we talked about, 40-foot deep snow, the lodge is open for guests from mid-May to early October each year. Although the lodge is not open for customers during the snowy months, employees are still there and describe being in the lodge that time of year like living in the movie The Shining.
Jesus.
Which terrifying.
Also takes place in Oregon, if people didn't know.
Part, but also Colorado. Like, some of it is Oregon, some of it is Colorado.
Oh, I just thought they filmed at the, what is it, on Mount Hood?
Some of the scenes, I believe, were filmed in Mount Hood, but some are in, like, the hotel itself, I believe, is in Colorado. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. We'll have to do a story on that, I'm sure. Yeah.
Okay.
However, with this one, there are no scary twins. But there are stories about a ghost girl that haunts the lodge. But it's just a single girl and not twins. Because, I mean, if you're going to have one ghost girl, it's way better than having two twin ghost girls that are creepy. But she has been reported to run through the hallways and play in the elevator. It's believed that the young girl haunts the lodge because she died in the building at the hands of her own father. Which is...
Jesus.
So sad. The elevator seems to be a popular ghost haunt because others have reported a Chinese man in the elevators as well. I mean, we've heard a couple stories about...
This could just be racist people from Klamath.
It could be.
It's a ghost.
Yeah.
He don't belong here.
I mean, if I'm going to get trapped in an elevator, I don't want it to be with any type of ghost, whether it's a little girl, a Chinese man, or a Casper, the friendly ghost. No, thanks. I don't need to be in a hotel elevator or any elevator with a ghost. I'm good with that. Some guests report having night terrors. Yeah, for sure. Some guests report having night terrors when staying in the lodge, while others report a deep feeling of unease that doesn't allow them to sleep at all. Overall, Crater Lake National Park is a beautiful area to visit and definitely worth seeing if you're in the area. Just don't be surprised if you see some weird things along your trip. And that is some stuff about Crater Lake.
I definitely agree with you. If you're in the area, check it out. It's pretty cool looking. It does take a while to get up there though, because it is a mountain, but
yeah, but I mean,
it's pretty cool.
From our town, it's about an hour to get to Crater Lake itself. And then, I mean, Medford's the other southern city where a lot of people are, and they have an airport. It's about an hour and a half to get there. So it's not a super long drive, but it's definitely worth it. I mean, it's a gorgeous place.
If you got an extra day, go ahead, check that out.
For sure. I say it's
They have like a restaurant and stuff up there too. Like,
yes.
Right?
Yeah, but it's not like a fancy restaurant. I think it's, you know,
it's like a diner.
Basically. Yeah. There's food, so you're not going to starve. Yeah. But you're not going to eat like high quality
cool checkout, though.
4-star meal or anything.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into this scary story of yours.
Okay, so, just trigger warning. This story does involve children, so.
Oh, great.
Yeah. So, Mark was born in, also, this takes place in Belgium, and I'm going to fuck up a lot of these names. I tried to listen to the pronunciations, but I don't really remember them exactly, so. Mark was born in Ixelles, Brussels on November 6th, 1956 to Victor Dutroux and Janine Lawens. His parents had 5 more children after he was born. Victor was traveling teacher and brought his family with him, so Mark grew up in Burundi until Burundi gained independence in 1961, and he and his family moved back to Belgium. Mark moved out shortly after his parents' divorce and became an electrician. In 1976, he would marry François Dubois. It's a weird name.
That is a tough one to say.
Yeah. While married to François, Mark started dealing in stolen car parts and scrap, as well as drug dealing and stealing stolen vehicles.
Wow. Okay.
He would frequent ice skating rinks to rub up against young girls when he intentionally slipped. Right off the bat, yuck. Not a great guy.
Yuck.
This led to him getting beat up by a guy whose girlfriend was repeatedly rubbed up against by Mark.
Yay!
The guy ended up going to jail for beating him up, though, which is not good.
No, that's not nice.
Mark met Michelle Martin while married, and the two started an affair. His wife divorced him because of this and his violent behavior in 1983 after having 2 children together. Mark did not keep custody of his children, surprisingly.
So he's a great dad, too, is what you're saying.
Yeah, real, real cool dad.
Okay.
So Mark and Michelle got married after his divorce, and the two had 3 children together. Mark often blamed Michelle for not being able to have sex with other women, and he told her that he planned on kidnapping and assaulting girls so that he wouldn't have to waste time flirting with them, and in turn would have more time to spend on her.
Okay. I was not expecting you to say any of that.
Yeah, I know. This story just gets like weirder and weirder the more I go on.
Crap. Okay.
She agreed with this plan and helped him kidnap a girl with the help of Jean Van Pettigram.
Okay. She agreed. Okay. All right.
She agreed to help him kidnap and assault
a girl.
Yes.
Great.
The 3 would get in a van, grab a young girl, assault them on camera, and let them go. Together, they assaulted 4 to 6 girls aged 11 through 19.
Oh, my God. Okay.
Yeah. Just. So, 18-year-old Axel was shoved into a white van by a man, and her eyes and mouth were taped over. She was told she was being ransomed for $450,000 and was brought to Mark's home. She was assaulted multiple times by multiple different people and was tied up in Mark's home for about 24 hours before being released near her parents' home.
Oh my God.
And it just keeps getting worse from here.
Oh, great.
15-year-old Elizabeth was ripped off her bike by Mark and was driven to his house where she endured the same torture as Axel. She was given 500 francs for a doctor's visit and dropped off near her home, which is weird.
It is weird. Hey, I just assaulted you. I'm going to pay for you to go to a doctor about it.
Yeah, jeez. That's fairly strange.
Super.
And all of these assaults were fairly similar, with all the girls being driven to his home and assaulted on camera and then being dropped back off.
Well, at least he wasn't killing them, I guess. Yet. Let me guess.
Trio was
yet.
Arrested. Huh? What?
Let me guess. Yet. He hasn't killed any of them yet.
So the trio was arrested in early February 1986 after a victim was able to identify Jean. Mark received 13.5 years. Jean received 6.5 and Michelle received 5 years in prison. While in prison, Mark was able to convince his psychiatrist that the reason he did this was because he was mentally ill and could not sleep. The psychiatrist prescribed him sleeping pills and public assistance of $1,200 a month.
What? Wow.
Yeah, I don't know how you can get prescribed public assistance while in jail.
Shit,
but
works
anyways,
weird
he
over
was getting
there.
Money while he is in jail, so I don't.
Huh.
Mark was granted an early release after serving only 3 years. Again,
what?
The advice of the prosecutor and the psychiatrist maintained his public assistance and sleeping pills prescription.
Oh,
so he got let out, still making money from the government, still getting prescribed sleeping pills, which will come into play later.
Great. Of course it will.
Mark owned 7 homes. And in one of them, he built a dungeon in the basement that was hidden behind a false wall.
Well, I mean, if you're going to have a dungeon, yes, hide it. But what? Why does he have 7 homes? Like, and how did he afford that?
I haven't. Well,
is
he
like a
slumlord? Yeah, he was running a car theft business, drug dealing.
Okay.
Like, he had his hands in everything.
Yeah.
Including little girls.
Yuck. Gross.
Between 1992 and 1996, Mark kidnapped and assaulted at least 10 victims age 8 through 19.
Jesus.
On June 24th, 1995, Julie Lejeune and Melissa Russo, who were both 8 years old, were going for a walk when they were kidnapped and brought to Mark's home.
No.
They were brought into his dungeon, and he tied them up by their neck.
Oh.
This is where he repeatedly abused them and made videos of the abuses.
Okay.
2 months later, in August, he kidnapped 17 and 19-year-old Anne Marshall and F.A. Lambrix. He brought them back to his house, but since he still had Julie and Melissa in the dungeon, keep in mind this was 2 months later, he chained them to the wall in his bedroom.
I was going to ask you what he did with the little girls, because all the other ones he let go after like a day, but he, oh God.
They're
I
still
hate
down
this
there.
Guy. I hate this
yeah,
guy.
Yeah, it's so messed up. While he had the girls in captivity, he would drug them with sleeping pills prescribed by the psychiatrist in prison.
Well,
Mark's mother actually wrote to the police saying she knew her son was responsible for the kidnappings. However, police failed to do anything about it.
No. Oh, wow.
Yes. His mother wrote to the police ratting him out.
And they were just like, whatever. Wow.
Yeah. About a month later, Mark and a man named Bernard Weinstein, they took the girls from the bedroom and they gave him extra sleeping pills and loaded them into his van and transported them to another one of his homes. When they arrived, he and Bernard took the girls out of the van, threw them into a hole on his property, and proceeded to bury them alive.
Okay. Again, I hate this
after
guy.
After their death, Bernard. Yeah. This guy's just a fucking piece of shit. So, Mark and Bernard, who were running a car theft ring, suspected two men of ratting on them after they had stolen a van that was discovered by the police.
Okay.
So, they went to the man's house, drugged him and his friend, tied them up, and brought them back to Mark's house.
One of the seven.
After they had tied the men up, they went back to their home to search for clues, where they found one of the men's girlfriend and kidnapped her as well. She, however, was able to escape and was able to alert the neighbors who called the police. While the police were in the home, they reported the sounds of children's voices coming from inside the home.
Oh, because they're still in the dungeon.
Yeah, but since they were locked behind a false wall, police the home without saving the children.
They were like, it's probably haunted. That's all. We're just hearing ghosts through the wall. Oh, those poor little girls.
I don't know, man.
Ugh.
With Bernard being the main suspect in the car theft kidnappings, Mark wanted him gone. So he drugged and kidnapped Bernard, the one who helped them bury the two girls.
Well, you got to get rid of your
hose clamps. Yeah. And he definitely did. He tied hose clamps around his nuts until Bernard told him where the stash from the car theft ring was hidden. After telling Mark this, he buried Bernard alive at another one of his properties.
Okay.
This guy just loved burying people alive.
That's twisted.
So, after this murder, one of the car theft kidnappees was able to identify Mark, and he was arrested for car theft in December 1995. He served about a year, and while away, ordered Michelle to give food and water to the 2 8-year-olds still trapped in his dungeon.
How long have they been in there for now?
Oh, gosh. Let's see. So he was arrested in December, and they were kidnapped in June.
Oh, 6 months. Oh.
Yes.
Oh, my God. They're poor parents.
God, it's so sad.
Oh, God.
So he served about a year for the car theft. That's the only thing he got served for. And while away, he ordered Michelle, his wife, to give food and water to the 2 8-year-olds still trapped in his dungeon. During this time, it is believed that Michelle and Mark allowed other people to come over and abuse the girls.
Ugh.
Hairs and outside clothing fibers were discovered in the dungeon. While the results were inconclusive, it is believed that Michel Nihul was one of the men who abused the girls. And that'll come into play in next week's episode and later in this episode.
Okay.
So Michelle did not follow Mark's instructions of feeding the girls, stating she was too scared to go into the basement. And when Mark was released, he discovered the two bodies of the kidnapped girls having died from lack of food and water. Mark drove their bodies to where Bernard was buried and buried them next to him. About 2 months after his release, he kidnapped 12-year-old Sabine Dardine and drove her to his house where he starved her and repeatedly assaulted her. 3 months after he kidnapped her, witnesses called police when they saw Mark kidnapping 14-year-old Latita Dallez. He brought her to his dungeon and assaulted her. On August 13, 1996, Mark, Michelle, and another accomplice were arrested, and the two girls were rescued, as well as the bodies of Melissa, Julie, Ann, and Efe, and Bernard were exhumed, as well as hundreds of tapes of the abuse he was inflicting, which he was selling to predators. So they just
of course
raided his house. They found a bunch of tapes of his abuse and...
Ugh.
So, the original judge behind this case was subsequently pulled from this because he attended a benefit for the victims of Mark. So, this judge was very devoted to exposing the whole kidnapping and abuse ring that Mark was, like, okay. involved with.
So, they figured he wouldn't be
and
fair.
And he was pulled.
He wasn't going to be impartial.
Yeah, and...
Okay.
They claimed that he was bribed with a bowl of spaghetti.
What?
Is he, that's what they served at the benefit, and he ate a bowl of spaghetti, and they're like, oh, that's a bribery. You can't work on this case anymore.
Oh, for crying out loud.
Yeah. So, since he got pulled from that, it was given to another judge, which was his very first case ever. He's a brand new judge.
Okay.
So, a witness came forward after Mark's arrest and said that he was involved in a child sex trafficking ring that was run by Michelle Nahul, who is believed to have come over and abused the girls while Mark was in jail. She said Mark supplied some of the girls and drugs for the ring. Because it, we only know of the people that he kidnapped because of their bodies and, or they were released. So,
okay.
No one's really sure how many people he actually kidnapped. She claimed the ring involved very important people in the Belgian government and media, and that the ring members would assault, drug, torture, and murder children all while being filmed. However, this was not included in the trial.
Oh, okay. Why?
Yeah. And so...
Come on.
If you'd like to hear... this is... I included that just because that's what I'm going to be talking about next week. This is... That's the part two of this is about the ring. But...
Okay.
Yeah. So Michelle Nahul was involved in the trial. He was the fourth defendant that was getting charged. Mark's trial began on March 1st, 2004, about 7 years after his arrest. And with the help of 450 witnesses, he was sentenced to life in prison.
Wow.
Michelle was sentenced to 30 years. And Michelle Nahul, who was never charged for these crimes, but was sentenced to 5 years for fraud, was released in 2006.
Oh, for crying out. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I hate it.
Yeah. Next week, I will be talking about the Belgian Epstein, Michelle Nahul.
I was
going
to say, this is so, just the Belgian version of Jeffrey
European
Epstein.
Epstein. Yeah.
Barf. I hate it. It's gross.
So, you guys might not even want to listen to next week's episode, just letting you know.
Listen to my story, because my story doesn't involve child sex trafficking.
Mine is just horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I just heard this story the other, like, this week, and I was like, well, I need to write. Like, this is so insane that I need to write about it.
I've never heard of it before. I've never heard of this guy before. It's awful.
Any of them? Like Mark Dutroux or...
No.
Because apparently it's super big in the news. Well, I guess we're not from Belgium, so it probably...
Yeah, but I mean, like, I guess we don't hear of that
other
many.
Guy, Peter Nygaard? Is that the other one?
Yeah.
I didn't really hear that either.
That's true. Yuck.
Yeah. Anyways, you got a chaser for us?
I do have a chaser.
We need it.
Let's change the palette here. My chaser is that the show Ted Lasso is supposed to be coming back for a fourth season. And I am so excited about it.
I saw that.
I love that show.
I saw that.
And when they ended it, I was so mad.
Watch more than a couple episodes.
It's amazing. It's so good. I just love it. The characters are great.
I love Jason Sudeikis. Yeah.
Yeah.
He always does a good job.
For sure. What chaser do you have?
So mine is a watch recommendation for an older movie that I had never seen before. Oh. But I just watched No Country for Old Men for the first time the other day.
Okay.
That was... Have you seen that movie?
I don't think I have.
So Josh Brolin, the guy who plays the main character in the Old Boy remake that I like.
Yeah.
He comes across like a drug shootout and everybody's dead, but there's like $2 million that he finds. So he brings it home, obviously.
Mm, but for sure.
There's a tracker. There's a tracker in the...
Whoops.
In the money. And they send this guy that's basically like a human version of T-2000 after him. And
he just like
kills everything in his path. Yeah.
This sounds like a great movie. Why have I not seen this movie?
I don't know.
It sounds like it's something I would like.
So I was like, might as well check it out. Yeah, you should definitely check it out. Okay. I wonder if Dad's seen it. You should ask him.
Probably.
It's a good watch.
He probably seen it.
It doesn't end well, but it's a good movie.
Okay. I'll have to check it out.
Definitely. Yeah, I think that wraps us up for today's episode.
Sorry
for bumming everybody out.
Yeah. Major bummer.
Next week won't be any better. Just letting you know. My story is worse next week.
My story is not. Yeah. I mean, it's...
Well, yours is going to be brutal too, won't it?
It's brutal and it's kind of gross, but... No children were harmed in the making
mixture
of my
of
story.
Both. My story, it just, you'll see.
Yeah.
I would recommend
right.
not. All right. Thanks
love
for
you,
watching, everybody. Go ahead and check us out on everything and give us a follow, rating, like.
Share
all
us
that
with
stuff
your friends.
Love you, Mom.
Love you, bud. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, friends. Thank you for supporting our podcast. Please share our show with your brutal and bizarre friends. Give us a boozy follow on your favorite podcast platform. If you're feeling extra generous, we'd appreciate a 5-star rating or review as well. But maybe do that sober so all the letters are in the right place.
You can find all our contact information in the show notes. We love hearing from you, and if you're interested in helping us stock the bar for our future boozy episodes, you can find our Patreon link in the show notes as well.